Student, you are stopping these animals. Tell us now how it is done.
I've told you, George, I haven't the foggiest notion.
Very well, we will have to take further action.
Oh, what are you going to do, George?
We will go back now to your room.
What happened, Mr. Phelan?
You might call me Walter. After all, George does. And we have more in common.
Please, what happened?
Oh, just a duck, a dead duck. George thinks I killed her by remote control. He wants me to tell him how.
Did you?
Look, I'm just an ordinary anthropologist. There's no telling what those animals died of. Just natural causes. But George can't see it that way. He thinks I'm holding out on him.
Good.
What?
At least we can get back at them some way. At least we can do something to them.
Well, why? After all, George isn't a bad fellow. If you like an ant mentality.
How can you say that? Well, they murdered the whole and the human race.
I suppose so, but we can't change that now, so why think about it?
We just can't sit here and do nothing.
I fail to see how we can do anything else.
But at least we could be fighting.
I can't see the virtue in that. I was more or less content with my books, and we've got George to talk to.
Of all the men in the world they had to pick. Don't you want to fight back? Don't you want to keep on fighting to the end?
It hadn't occurred to me.
But we've got to, Walter.
Why?
Well, I can't really explain it, but... Walter, if there was any good in man, it was that he kept on struggling against nature and, in the end, even against himself. But he kept on fighting for what he thought was right, and we're all that's left. Walter, we just can't end by giving up. We've got to keep on fighting.
You know, you do remind me of Martha.
There isn't much left for us. We could beat them in this one small thing. We can pretend there's a secret about death. We could refuse to tell them anything.
Well, there isn't anything to tell.
But they don't know that. Promise me you won't give in.
Well, I suppose the worst they can do is kill us. All right, Miss Evans. Hello, George.
Hello, Walter. Now you will tell us how these animals are stopped.
George, this may come as a shock to you, but I've decided not to tell you.
Why?
Oh, a romantic attachment to lost causes. My grandfather was a Confederate officer.
Walter, you are not being logical.
Neither was my grandfather. He charged a Yankee battery with one round of ammunition and a corncob pipe.
You are not logical, but that is expected in lower life forms. You will come with me now, Walter.
Where are you taking him?
To the second level. Go now, Walter.
You won't tell them.
I can't guarantee anything, but as of now, I don't intend to.
We've got to fight, Walter. Remember that. We've got to go out fighting.
Yes. Yes, I think you're right.
Go now, Walter.
Goodbye.
It's been a pleasure, Miss Evans.
I am waiting. Go now, Walter.
After you, my dear George.
You will tell us now, Walter. That was the first level of vibration. There are many more. However, we have calculated that none of them exceed your threshold of unconsciousness.
Oh, very clever, George.
Of course. You will tell us now, how do you stop these animals? You will tell us now.
As of now, no. However, I'm not very brave, if that encourages you, George.
You are not being logical, Walter.
You're telling me.
We will now use vibration level 2. Walter. Walter, you are still conscious.
Let me alone, George.
You will tell us now. You will tell us now how you stop the animals.
Let me alone. Let me alone.
We have had vibration levels 1 and 2. There are still 15 more before your threshold of unconsciousness.
No, no, no. Let me alone.
Walter, listen to me. Another creature sleeps and will not wake. We must know now.
It's tough. You better start vibrating again, George.
No.
What?
It would not be logical. We have calculated that no further level of vibration will overcome your irrational psychological block. We conclude you will not tell.
And let me go?
That is correct.
Oh, that's real nice of you, George. I appreciate it.
We have calculated that the resistance of the female of your species will be lower. We will now place her under the vibrations.
No, George, you can't do that. Now, listen, George. George, there is no secret. Can you understand that? There is no secret. Those animals died from natural causes. I'm telling you the truth.
That is not a logical answer. We will get the woman.
I've told you the truth. Can't you understand?
We must know now. The female animal cage next to the duck has been stopped. We must preserve the survivor.
The animal Animal next to the dock.
We will bring the woman here. She will tell us after the vibration.
No. Listen, George. You want the truth? You want to know how to save the mates of the animals that have been stopped?
You will tell us now?
Yes, I'll tell you now. I give up. But you've got to promise to leave the woman alone. You promise, George?
If we receive the answer from you, Walter, there will be no further need for the vibration.
Well, I guess that'll have to do. All right. Take me to that stopped animal. I'll tell you how to save the mate.
Very well, Walter. You are being logical now. We will go.
Walter, are you all right?
Just let me catch my breath a minute.
What did they do? What happened?
After a while, I told them what they wanted to know.
Oh, no.
As George pointed out, it seemed to be the logical thing at the time.
But you promised.
I know.
It was our last chance to beat them on even one little thing.
Well, perhaps. You mind if I sit down?
You gave up.
Well, I suppose you could call it that. I'm very tired.
They've beaten us completely, then. There isn't even anything we can do. The last of the human race, and we give up. We don't even die fighting.
Oh, it isn't that bad. Something might turn up, Martha.
What did you call me?
No, I must have said Martha. Sorry, she was my wife. She died 2 years ago. What were you saying?
Nothing. It doesn't matter. It's too late. It's too late for the whole human race.
What now, George?
The Council of the Zan has met.
No? Something wrong, George?
A Zan has been stopped.
What?
A Zan is dead?
That is correct.
Well, you didn't believe me, George. But you can die. You can really die. You'll have to get used to that if you're going to stay here.
The Council has decided. A, you have in some way stopped this Zan. B, you and the woman must be eliminated.
Walter!
No, you've got it wrong, George.
The Council has decided. This time you will have the full vibration.
This time? Walter, what did they do to you?
Oh, they have a rather effective third degree.
They tortured you, Walter?
Yes.
And I thought... Oh, Walter, it was all my fault.
I wouldn't even have tried without you. I suppose we have a last chance now to end with some dignity.
I think you're a very brave man, Walter.
No, not very. There isn't much else to do. Do we go now, George?
Now, Walter. Wait.
What's that?
I have been told another Zan has died.
Now, will you believe me?
The Council of the Zan meets now.
Two gone already, and you were with me, George. You know I didn't kill this one.
What stopped him then?
I told you, it's old man death. You came to the wrong planet, George. Your immortality doesn't go down here. He can stop you, but you can't stop him. And you'll all die if you stick around. What now?
The Council has decided. This is a place of death. We will leave your planet.
Leave? You mean you're giving up?
It is not safe for the Zan.
Oh, Walter, they're leaving. They're really going.
Come on then, George. And don't hurry back.
It would not be logical to do so. We are leaving the Earth now. Goodbye, Walter.
Goodbye, George. Aboard now.
So wonderful to feel the sun and the wind again.
Yeah, they've closed the hatches.
Walter, is it safe for us to be out here?
Yes, they're not interested in us any longer. They only want to get away. And I want to see this, Grace. The Zan leaving Earth forever. They're blasting off.
There they go.
Yes, it's all over now. Well, I suppose we might as well go back in.
I still don't understand. Walter, what made them go?
I just told them the facts of life.
Of death, you mean?
No, of life. After all, I thought George was old enough to know. At 7,000 years, he was going to be a pretty big boy.
I wish you'd stop joking and tell me what happened.
Look out for the step. You remember when the first animals died?
The rabbit and the duck?
Yeah, and their mates just started to pine and waste away?
Yes.
Well, that worried the Zan. They wanted to keep the last specimens alive if they could. So, finally, I broke down and told them about affection.
Affection?
Yes. And then I introduced Donald.
Donald, who's that?
Here we are. Grace, meet Donald.
Oh, Walter, please, what does affection have to do with it?
That's what the Zan wanted to know. I told him it was love that made the world go round. That having lost his mate, Donald would die immediately unless he had affection and constant petting.
Petting?
Hmm? I even showed him how. Here, fella, come on. Come here.
Yeah.
I held Donald in my arms, and I petted him a while. Then I let the Zan take over with the animal in the next cage.
What animal?
Take a look.
You mean this cage?
Mm-hmm. Watch out. Don't go too close.
Walter, it's a rattlesnake.
Yeah, yes. Their metabolism made it impossible for them to die of old age, but I had a hunch that they could be poisoned.
Well, then it was the snake that killed the two Zan.
Mm-hmm. They never even knew what bit them.
Then you outwitted them, Walter.
Well, I suppose...
I thought you'd just given up. Oh, Walter, I'm so ashamed.
You don't have to be. I had given up. I probably wouldn't have fought if you hadn't pushed me.
Well,
Well, we've got a world to plan. A new world, Grace.
I know.
We'll have to decide which animals to let out of the zoo and which ones it'd be safer to keep in. But first, there's a bigger problem.
What's that?
The human race.
Oh.
We've got to make a decision about that. Pretty important one.
Yes, but...
It's been a nice race, even if nobody won it. Of course, it may go backward for a while until it gets its breath, but we can save the books and all the most important things and get it started ahead once more.
No.
It's the Garden of Eden all over again. But Eve, you'll have to watch out for that snake.
Now, don't be ridiculous, Walter.
You know, funny, you even blush like Martha. Only you're stronger than she was. Prettier, too.
I wish you'd forget about Martha.
I think I will, my dear. If you'll give me time.
Now, Walter Phelan, you listen to me. If you think for one minute that
thought it would never happen to me again. But it is love that makes the world go round. So, Grace, if you could only...
No. I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth.
But that's exactly what I am.
I don't care. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm going out.
All right, my dear, but think it over. And please come back.
You see, I told you. It wasn't really so horrible, our story. Remember how it goes? The last man on earth sat alone in a room. And then there was a knock on the door.
Come in. Come in, Grace, my dear.
You see, it wasn't horrible at all. In just a moment, a word about next week's adventure. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you Knock by Frederick Brown, adapted for radio by Ernest Kinoy. Featured in the cast were Alex Scorby as Walter, Laurie March as Grace, and Louis Van Ruten as the Zan. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is an NBC Radio Network production. Now, next week. A strange and chilling story from the Bureau of Missing Persons. The story of what occurred when they accidentally intercepted a shortwave message. A cry for help from a missing atomic scientist who told them the fantastic story that he was now the man in the moon. How did it happen? You'll hear next week at X-1.
Do you have a great idea for a product or service but don't know where to start? Are you looking to grow your current business? Women's Initiative in San Francisco began its business management training program for low-income, high-potential women in 1988. To attend a free orientation on how you can achieve your dream of starting your own business, or for more information, please contact Sophia Campos at 415-641-3465. That's 415-641-3465.
This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1, fire! From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand would-be worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X minus one. Tonight's story, The Man in the Moon.
Attention, attention. This is the Federal Bureau of Missing Persons calling all local agencies. Attention, this is a coded report nationwide. Missing since 9 o'clock this morning, the following persons: Smigley Jonathan, 5 feet 8 inches tall, brown hair, brown eyes, mastoid scar behind right ear,
Hello.
Last seen wearing
Hello.
Blue top coat and
Hello.
Tan cap,
Hello,
wanted by Los Angeles...
Hello.
Hello, get off this wavelength.
Hello,
this is a restricted band.
Hello. Hello, Earth.
Whoever you are, you're on a coded
Hello,
wavelength.
Earth.
Tune out. This frequency is reserved
Hello.
For the Federal Bureau of Missing Persons.
Hello, Earth. This is the moon oh. calling Earth. Hello, Earth.
This guy's loony.
This is Jake in transmission.
Jake, this is Charlie of the code room. Some crackpot is on our frequency.
Yeah, I heard him, Charlie. I've got CQ trying to trace a source now. We should have a triangulation any second.
Well, hurry it up, will you? Some ham is in for a good stiff fine by the FCC.
Yeah, they ought to take his license away. Oh, here comes Lenny with the directional fix.
Right.
Thanks, Lenny. Hey, what's this? This is impossible.
What's going on down there? How about it? Get that ham out of my kilocycles.
Oh, listen, Charlie, unless this is a gag, that interference is being beamed from 240,000 miles away.
Oh, now, Jake, you know there ain't no such thing as 240,000 miles away.
Yes, there is, Charlie. Straight up.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Charlie, that signal is coming from the moon.
Are you nuts?
Well, somebody might be bouncing it like a radar signal.
Radar? On this frequency? Where'd you study basic radio?
Now, listen, Flathead, you asked for a fix. I gave the best fix our instruments can find. Take it or leave it. Somebody on the moon is calling the Bureau of Missing Persons.
Mr. Timken.
What's the sweat, Charlie? Shouldn't you be broadcasting?
Listen, Mr. Timken. You know I'm a sober citizen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never once have I broadcast with the smell of alcohol on my breath, right?
Right.
In all your 12 years here at the Bureau, did I
well,
once
what's
ever...
What's the matter, Charlie?
We're picking up a message on our wavelength.
Well, did you report to the FCC?
I ain't got the nerve.
Well, what's wrong?
You'll scream when you hear this, Mr. Timken. You'll jump right out the window, but... We are getting an SOS from the moon. Well, that's it. He started on voice and switched to Morse. The way the signal repeats sounds like a phonograph record or automatic sender of some sort.
Well, what's it say?
Let's see here. Can you read me? Help Otterburn. Will contact when moon is in phase.
Let's have that again.
Can you read me? Help Otterburn. Will contact when moon is in phase.
Otterburn.
That sounds like a name, huh?
Otterburn. Wait a minute.
Something registered?
Cornelius Otterburn. Holy jumping Jehoshaphat.
Hey, where are you going?
To talk to the chief.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you going to tell him? We just got a CQ from the man in the moon?
That's exactly what I am going to tell him, Charlie. Hey.
Oh, this is just too much for me.
Washington Star Ledger.
Let me have O'Brien on city desk.
A moment. Ryan?
Seamus.
Yeah.
Charlie Starbuck, down at the Missing Persons Bureau. You want a hot one? No kidding. This'll cost you a beer, okay?
All right, shoot, Noodle Brain. I'll stay on your wavelength for 30 seconds.
Okay. We just got a radio message from the moon.
Yep. What?
From the moon.
Call me back when you're sober.
Okay, Seamus, if you don't know a story when you see one,
I'll send you the name of a good psychiatrist. So long, Orson Welles.
How do you like that? He don't believe me.
Otterburn, Mr. Wade. Now, does that name ring a bell?
You're the man with the photographic memory, Henry. What about Otterburn?
Cornelius Otterburn, atomic physicist, reported missing from his home in Baltimore on June 5th, 1945, just 5 years ago, vanished completely.
Are you trying to tell me you really think there's something to this man in the moon business? Henry, I'm surprised at you. This is some crackpot trying to jam the airwaves.
Yes, but the name Otterburn is so unusual.
So are a lot of names.
And I have a theory that...
I was afraid of that. Henry, you always have a theory. Let's see, what was it last year? Oh, yes. That people disappear in occupational psych.
But it's true.
Please, Henry, I'm a busy man. You expect me to believe that this Otterburn is sitting up on the moon, sending out shortwave messages?
Well, he might be on Earth, bouncing the messages off the moon. But who's to say he isn't on the moon?
Henry, as chief of this bureau, I have my hands full trying to coordinate reports from 48 states and Alaska. I have no time to include the moon.
But, Mr. Wade...
Out, Henry.
But, Mr. Wade...
Out. I'm busy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, here. Take this folder of reports for the dead file.
Yes, sir.
And no more nonsense, eh, Henry?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that you have a very dull job filing old missing persons reports, and I appreciate that you take an active interest in the affairs of the Bureau. But no more nonsense, eh?
No, sir. No more nonsense.
Pardon me. You are Mr. Henry Timken.
That's my name.
Permit me, Jefferson Philo, scientific feature writer.
Well, how do you do? Oh, are you a newspaper man?
Not exactly. I write as a hobby. Occasionally, the papers give me leads on an assignment. If I may have a moment of your time.
Well, certainly. Just sit down at my desk over here.
Thank you. My, that's quite a stack of papers.
Filing. I'm the records custodian of the Bureau. 12 years and never misplaced a record.
Magnificent. I admire the precise mind, Mr.
Timken.
Of course. Now, Mr. Timken... Mr. O'Brien, the editor of the Star Ledger, said I might drop by and investigate a rumor. Only a rumor, mind you, that a message from the, moon?
Well, we aren't certain it's from the moon. It may be a bounce. They have bounced radar waves off the moon, you know.
Yes, and, I know. I wrote the first newspaper article on it.
Really? I'd be interested to read it.
I must have a copy in my briefcase.
Well, don't bother.
But I insist. Oh, yes. There you are. I'll leave it on your desk.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now... about this message from the moon, Mr. Timken.
Well, now, we don't know for sure, as I said, but I believe that this message, wherever it originates, is from Cornelius Otterburn.
The physicist?
Oh, do you know him?
I once wrote an article on his contribution to nuclear mechanics. A brilliant man, Otterburn. Years ahead of his contemporaries.
Well, whoever is sending those signals, if he isn't on the moon, is at least using the moon as a sounding board, bouncing the signal.
But why, Mr. Timken, why?
Well, if you will come here tomorrow night at 8, Mr. Philo, we may learn the answer to that question. I've arranged with Charlie, our radio man, to let me use the equipment.
May I consider this an invitation?
You certainly may.
Very well, sir. Until tomorrow night, then.
Goodbye, Mr. Philo. Let's see now. Aiken, Abelard, Abramson, Rono, Atchison. Well, that's funny. Now, where did this list of names come from? Paul Ahrens. Astromathematician, Robert Simons, electronic engineer, Carl Parker, mining specialist. Well, this must have gotten mixed up with the papers on my desk by accident. Peculiar list of names. Oh, good morning, Charlie.
Oh, hi, Mr. Timken. See, we made the papers.
Oh?
And how? And as the chief steamed up about it, he really gave me what for.
What did the paper say?
Oh, mostly ha-ha. Here's the Herald. Listen. Man on the moon contacts missing persons bureau. Missing atomic scientists sitting on the moon, say bureau experts, etc., etc. What a panning.
Well, no wonder Mr. Wade is hopping.
Say, about tonight, Mr. Timken,
Now,
know.
You promised you'd give me a key to the radio room.
Yeah, but I didn't expect
it. Well, I'll take full responsibility Mr. Wade.
Not the time for the morning broadcast. We got quite a list today.
Well, mind if I listen a while? We may hear Otterburn.
Why, well, I ain't self-conscious. Just stick around.
Yes.
Attention, attention. This is the Federal Missing Persons Bureau calling all local agencies. Nationwide, this is a coded broadcast. The following persons are missing. Aarons, Dr. Paul, what? 5'5", brown hair, brown eyes, scar on left side of chin, thick glasses.
Aarons.
Occupation, astromathematician. Missing since 6 o'clock this morning, being sought by Bel Air Police.
Charlie.
Repeat, Dr. Paul
Charlie,
Aarons.
Charlie, shut it off a second.
Hold it. A delay, 1 minute. Listen, Mr. Timken, it's okay to stay, but you can't interrupt us.
This is important. Did you say Dr. Aarons was reported missing this morning?
6 a.m. We got the report from Bel Air less than an hour ago.
That, are you certain, Charlie?
Positive. What is this?
Charlie, what's the next name on the list?
Let's see. Simons, Robert, what? Engineer.
What?
Came in less than 20 minutes ago.
20?
Hey, what's the matter with you? You look like you've seen a ghost.
It's nothing, Charlie, except that last night, quite by accident, someone left a list of names on my desk, and that list included the names of those two men who were reported missing within the last hour.
What? Oh, that don't sound right to me.
Well, it isn't right, Charlie. It leaves a big question to be answered. Who would make up a list of missing persons before they were missing, not after?
And you say this list of names was left on your desk accidentally?
Well, I believe so, Mr. Wade.
Do you have any ideas, Henry?
Well, it's hard to say. Mr. Philo left some papers from his briefcase.
Mr. Philo?
Well, a science feature writer.
I see. You were the leak on that story, then?
Yes, sir, I'm afraid I was. I didn't think it would be treated as a laughing matter.
Well, we'll deal with that later.
Yes, sir.
What's this Philo like?
Well, he's a strange old duck. Bald, thick glasses, tall. He walks stooped over. Seems to know a great deal about scientific data. But, of course, being a science writer, he
is
would.
There any other possibility?
Well, I believe that this is all hooked up with the broadcast from Otterburn.
That seems to be a very remote possibility.
Well, the Missing Persons Bureau deals in remote possibilities, Mr. Wade.
I do not require a statement of policy.
Yes, sir.
What's the theory?
Well, for some time now, it has been my contention that in a country like ours, where even the cleverest criminal can be ferreted out and located eventually, there is no such thing as a missing person.
I was afraid of that.
Now, for 12 years now, I have kept the central files, where information from all over the country is channeled and recorded. I have made a private study.
This is beginning to sound familiar, Henry.
And I have discovered that each year, literally thousands of persons vanish, leaving no trace. They are never located. Where do they go? Nobody knows. And they disappear in interesting cycles.
What sort of cycles?
Occupations, for example. One year we'll have a run on, well, say, coal miners. Next year the proportion of engineers increases. And then scientists. And
what do you think happens, Henry?
I don't know, Mr. Wade, but I'm beginning to suspect that somebody else has discovered the same phenomenon, even to the point, perhaps, of being able to predict who will turn up among the missing next.
Philo?
Well, I don't know. But I would like to find out.
And you think Otterburn may be a part of this picture?
Mr. Wade, I definitely do.
Henry, do you honestly expect me to buy an idea like that?
It is more than an idea. The two top men on this list are missing, and
maybe so, but the rest of them aren't. Parker, Watson, Gibbs. Why, I saw Parker in the restaurant where I had lunch today.
Yes, but
and
Mr.
if you think
Wade,
I'm going to make myself a laughingstock by accepting such a crack-brain theory.
Well, I...
Excuse me.
Yes.
Hello, Wade speaking. Yes? Yes? I see. What name? Just a moment. Henry, let me see that list again.
Here you are, sir.
Go ahead. I see. I'll get back to you. I guess I owe you an apology, Henry.
Sir?
Carl Parker was just reported missing.
Parker?
Third man on your list.
Holy mackerel.
Exactly. Henry, for a good many years now, I've ridiculed these theories of yours. I don't know. Perhaps I've underestimated you. Maybe this time you've really stumbled onto something.
What do you intend to do, Mr. Wade?
I don't know. I haven't thought it out yet.
I was planning to listen for another broadcast tonight in the hope that Otterburn might try to contact us again.
Good idea. I believe I'll join you.
I also invited Mr. Philo, the feature writer.
Oh? I'll be glad to meet him. I'm beginning to get interested in you, Mr. Philo.
Wait, you don't think
that he's mixed up in this?
Yes, sir.
I don't know, Henry. But it suddenly strikes me that we don't know very much about him, really.
We ought to contact the police.
No, Henry. I think we're better off keeping this between ourselves for the moment. We're dealing with the unknown. And in solving an equation for the X factor, it's often easier to limit the number of terms. You follow me?
I don't know, Mr. Wade.
There may be more danger in what you have discovered than you are aware of. Let's keep it quiet. You agree?
Maybe you're right, Mr. Wade. I hadn't thought of the danger involved.
Clock. My friend Mr. Filer was late.
Well, he said he'd be here. He strikes me as a man who keeps appointments.
Look out the window.
Yes, sir.
The moon is almost in direct phase. We can't wait much longer.
Well, it's a perfectly clear night for transmission. If anybody's sending, we ought to pick it up with this equipment.
You'd better switch on the set.
Yes, sir. I never realized how eerie this office could be when it was empty.
I left a light in the hall for Mr. Filer when he comes. Are you getting anything?
Just some foreign stuff, I think.
Programming from Johannesburg, South Africa. We continue in
effort. That's a peculiar transmission sound.
Earth.
Well, that sounds like something. See if I can work the selector.
The moon is in phase.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Earth. Can you hear me?
I'll try to return. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Earth.
Hello, do you hear me?
Oh, I get you now. Thank God.
Who are you? Can you hear me? Who are you?
This is Professor Cornelius Otterburn. Hello?
Go on. I hear you.
Not much time. They're on to me. They've located my sending point. Do you hear me?
Go ahead. Keep talking.
I've only enough oxygen for a few minutes more.
Well, where are you?
I'm on the Earth side of the moon. You get that? The Earth side of the moon. A volcanic crater.
Good.
Start that recorder, Mr. Wade. Go on. Explain, please. Explain, please.
Now listen closely. There is an Earth colony on the moon. There is an Earth colony on the far side of the moon, made up of renegade scientists and criminals. Professor Ernst Halsman.
He died in an insane asylum in 1938.
Professor Ernst Halsman discovered nuclear rocket power in 1935. Turned his plans over to escaped inmates of the asylum. They took off and set up a colony on the far side of the moon in 1938.
Go ahead, we're recording you.
Each year, they recruit new colonists from Earth. Slave labor, mostly. I was kidnapped in 1945.
Yes, I know. Keep talking.
They wanted me to work on atomic drive for their flying disc.
Still getting you, go on.
Last month, six others and I escaped.
Speak louder.
You got to stop them. Stop them.
Stop who?
The moon colony. Planning to take over the Earth. Invasion. Oh.
Hang on.
No oxygen. Hard to breathe. Listen. They have agents on Earth. You hear me?
Agents on Earth? Where? Who? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Agents? Yeah.
Henry, look out.
Lights.
Someone at the window. Get down. Henry, are you all right?
I think so. His shot smashed the transmitter.
And the lights. Strike a match. Careful.
It was close.
I got a look at him. From the description, it was your Mr. Philo.
We got a recording anyway, but not the most important part of the message. Poor Otterburn. Suffocating to death.
Henry, we've got to get you out of here. He said they have agents. Philo was probably one of them. He'll be looking for you now, trying to kill you.
But the police...
You think the police would believe a fantastic story like this? People being kidnapped to the moon as slave labor? Moon colony planning an invasion of the Earth?
But
Henry, believe me, they'd trap us into straitjackets before we could finish.
Well, we've got to do something.
We need time. Time to get proof.
You don't think my theory was bunk, then?
I know it wasn't, Henry. Right now, my only concern is for your safety.
But we can't walk out of here. Philo's probably waiting.
Listen. There's a service elevator that leads to the basement garage.
Yeah?
We can get down there. There are some delivery trucks parked there all night. We can probably get one started. The garage door's off the ramp, work from the inside. We'll start the mechanism and make a run for it.
I don't know. I think if we call the police...
By the time the police get here, we'll be dead. You think Philo will wait outside all night? Come on. That's an order.
Okay. But what about the recording of Otterburn's notes?
We'll leave that here in the safe in my office.
They'll never get into that. Let's go. You buzz the elevator while I hide the recording. This is the basement. Come on. Keep to the side.
Yes, sir.
Shh. Let's try that delivery truck over there. I'll get in. All right, Henry. You start the mechanism to open the garage door, then jump onto the truck.
Yes, sir.
We'll make a dash for it.
Where can we go?
I have a farm outside Chevy Chase. It's private. Miles from the nearest neighbor and completely hidden by trees. We'll run for that. Go ahead. Start the door up.
All right.
Quick, jump in. Here we go, Henry. Cross your fingers. We made it out all right. Anything doing?
There's a blue coupe behind us, Mr. Wade. It's easily following.
I'll cut up Pennsylvania Avenue. Now Route 1, toward Baltimore.
It is following. He turned with us. Can you go faster?
Not much faster.
He's gaining on us.
I've got an idea. Hang on, Henry.
Yes. Why'd you stop?
I'll turn off the lights. It worked. He shot right past us. Now we'll double back and go out another route.
I don't see anything. I think we've lost him.
Good. I think everything's going to be all right now. We can be at my farm in less than an hour. Not much longer now. Is anyone behind us?
I thought I saw the blue coupe again, but I was mistaken. Whew. This place is really out in the wilderness.
You can stay here indefinitely till we'll figure out the next move. We're just up this dirt road now. There's the house up ahead.
You're not going toward it.
No, I have a better idea. There's a big abandoned wheat silo on my grounds. It's down a hollow where it can't be seen except in the air. And even then, the oak trees shield it. We'll hide you out there. Now, we leave the truck here. It'll never be seen. Come on.
Yes. How did you ever find this place, Mr. Wade?
I've always liked seclusion. I bought it about 12 years ago. Come up here in the summertime to get away from it all. There's the silo.
It's certainly well hidden.
There's a small door around the side. Come on. Be careful of those bushes.
Yes.
It's hard to see them in the dark.
Do you suppose Philo will find us?
I assure you, Henry, Mr. Philo will never find us here. Not in a million years. Here's the door.
It's pitch dark.
Hold my arm. I know the way. Just a few steps up and another door.
Steel. This is an unusual silo. Double walled, wood outside and steel inside.
Completely fireproof. An army couldn't wreck it. We're inside the inner shell. Careful.
Yes.
We're in a circular room. Stay here a moment. I'll go outside and see if the coast is clear. In a moment, your eyes will become accustomed to the darkness. I'll bring back some food and water.
Don't be long, Mr. Wade. This place gives me the willies.
Just a moment.
Mr. Wade. I swear I hear something. Mr. Wade. What's that? There is something. Good Lord. There's someone in here. It's locked. Oh, no. Mr. Wade! Mr. Wade, let me out! I'm not alone in here! Mr. Wade! This must be a light switch. Thank God. Oh, no. People. 10, 15, 20. Mr. Wade, help! Help!
It will do you no good to shout, Henry.
Mr. Wade, where are you?
Outside. Speaking over the intercom.
Mr. Wade, there are people in here. 15 or 20 of them. They're sitting like statues, just staring at me.
They won't hurt you, Henry. What? They've all been drugged. They're even more helpless than you.
But who are they?
Permit me to introduce them, Henry, as they are currently unable to introduce themselves. The gentleman seated before you, the one with the scar, is Dr. Paul Ahrens, the astro-mathematician. Next to him is Mr. Robert Simons, electronic engineer.
Names on the list.
Yes, you're familiar with the rest. They've all been, shall we say, recruited for work with Professor Halsman's group on the moon.
Moon? Then you're one of them.
Of course. Oh, yes. There's one whose name was not on our list. If you'll turn around, Henry, you'll recognize the drugged form of your old friend, Mr. Philo.
Philo? But I thought...
That he was part of the conspiracy? No. On the contrary. His snooping made it necessary for us to include
him. Please put the man in the window, the one who fired the shot.
An agent of mine. The pilot of this ship.
What ship?
This silo is camouflaged for a rocket launching platform. In a moment, the roof will slide back for the rocket's takeoff.
A rocket ship?
In exactly 70 hours, you and your companions will join Professor Otterburn on the moon.
But you can't do this to me!
We have done it, Henry.
No!
You see, there was another name omitted in that list, which I carelessly mixed up with your papers. That of Henry Timken.
No!
Bon voyage!
I won't let you do this! You can't! Please,
let me out. Let me out, please. This can't happen. Let me out. Let me out. Attention. Missing since 8 o'clock last night, the following persons. Timken Henry, age 45. Height 5 feet 8, 165 pounds, brown eyes, slightly balding. Occupation, records custodian. Repeat, Timken, Henry, age 45, height 5 feet 8, 165 pounds. In just a moment, a word about next week's adventure. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Man in the Moon, an original radio drama written by George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Louis Van Ruten as Henry, Santos Ortega as the Chief, Ross Martin as Charlie, Sidney Smith as Otterburn, Bob Haig as Jake, Joe DeSantis as Philo, and Ed Latimer as O'Brien. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Fred Way, and is an NBC Radio Network production. And now, next week, the sign on the window said Parigi's Wonderful Dolls. A woman and a child waited outside. The little girl peering eagerly through the window, and the woman glancing impatiently at her wristwatch, as if expecting someone who was late for an appointment. And there was nothing about Parigi's doll shop to warn them that they were waiting to keep an appointment with Doom at X-1.
Rocket Dog Rescue is a Bay Area organization that works to save dogs from death at overcrowded shelters and put them into happy homes. If you're looking to adopt or have some extra cash you feel like donating, go to rocketdogrescue.org. That's rocketdogrescue.org.
This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio.
Less conversation, a little more. unrefrigerated food. After a storm or disaster, it's important to eat only safe food. Throw away perishables like meat, poultry, fish, eggs, and leftovers stored above 40 degrees Fahrenheit for 2 hours or more. Throw away food with an unusual odor, color, or texture. Throw away any food that may have come in contact with flood water, including food in swollen, punctured, and damaged cans. When in doubt, throw it out. To learn more, call CDC at 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Out, throw it out. This public service announcement has been brought to you by Mutiny Radio, 21st in Florida.
Last season on We're Alive.
Nothing used to scare me. I didn't fear death or what might be there on the other side if today was my day. That was then, and this is now.
Michael, it's Lieutenant Angel. We need you to come to the unit right away.
Angel, where the hell is everyone else?
What the hell happened to you? You look pale.
You didn't see it? Weren't you on the 5-2? Things ran onto the freeway.
See that shit? They tore that car apart like a tin can.
Guys?
There's too many!
They're on fire!
She's not stopping!
Aim for the head!
How the hell are there so many? That was like 100!
I swear one of them looked like the commander.
You need some place like a prison.
This isn't just about us. There are a lot of people out there who are where we are now, locking themselves in some safe place, waiting things out, hoping that someone is going to come rescue them.
My girlfriend's apartment building. One main lobby with a small stairwell. We could turn off the elevators. That gives us a very small area to contain as the entrance.
How do you expect to make it to the building? Like, the roads are probably jammed with broken down cars and God knows what else.
We'll take one of the Humvees.
Do we really need to wear uniforms?
You wear this, and people will know who you are and won't think twice about coming with you. There's a lot that this uniform represents that we will need out there.
How does it look out there?
Saul, you're driving! Did you really have to run over the commander?
Stop the car!
What is it?
Look, up there, the roof of the flower shop.
How many up there?
Just two.
Jump onto the roof!
I didn't think anyone was going to come.
Hi, Pegs. I'm Saul. And that's Angel and Michael.
Riley, nice to meet all of you.
Pull around to the side, down that ramp. We'll secure from the ground floor, starting with the parking garage.
You two be ready to fire. On three. One, two, three!
Oh, shit! Oh, man. Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Who the hell are you?
I'm Datu, the maintenance guy for the building.
You have the keys, don't you? And you know what key opens what door. And every place that someone or something might be hiding in this building. We need your help.
We're gonna need to get organized.
The more people that we can help and have hide out here, the more important it is they each pull their own weight.
Let's get moving.
Saul, Angel, get down here. We got something.
Please let us in. Oh, shit.
Too late.
What the fuck happened?
Get that too. Find whatever you can to board up this door. They keep pounding like this and the hinges are gonna go.
God, he can't be dead.
How's the girl doing?
Oh, Lizzie, she'll be all right. I found some nets in the cabinet that should calm you. I was thinking maybe we should have a little store or something that we keep everything valuable. That way we know what we have and what we need.
Then what is our top priority?
Getting through that door so we can clear the lobby. See, Lizzie said she came here because she saw it was boarded up and knew people were alive inside. What if more people see it right now and think this place is safe? We need generators, and we need them soon. I mean, we lose power. All those frozen foods are useless. Take a minimal crew, just two of us.
When are you leaving?
First thing in the morning.
How long are you planning to be gone?
Less than a day, if we can help it.
I got it. You could make some signs. You know, we could hang them from the rafters here. You could sew some sheets together and paint some signs.
Yeah.
Pull into this market.
Shit. This one's been raided too.
Come on, let's just see what they got left.
File in one at a time, please. We need to make sure you're all okay.
Please, give us your name so we can write you down and any skills or jobs you might have had.
Can you believe this? The only two worth mentioning from the second group were Tommy and Kelly. Tommy was 16 at the time and was being babysat by his aunt when everything went bad. Kelly was a lawyer back before all this happened and didn't really care much for kids.
You think I want to babysit you? Your mom left you with me and didn't come back. What am I supposed to do now? Do you want me to just leave you?
It's the boy. His aunt told me he has celiac disease. He can't eat gluten.
Which means the roof is now a priority. Come on, let's go try and deal with that asshole who's locked himself up on the top floor.
I knew you'd be back. Thought you might be able to sneak up on me, did you?
See what I mean? He's lost.
We need to get to the roof, and we can't do that unless you let us through. All we want to do is use it to grow some food. That's all. We just need to get past your door.
Oops. What do you mean, oops?
What happened?
One of them was just close to the edge. It just fell off.
Oh, well, that's...
What is it doing?
It's calling others. There's more coming.
Michael! The front door! They're almost through! There must be hunters out there!
Get everyone upstairs. Everyone who can wield a rifle or pistol, send them to the lobby. Hurry!
They're here!
Shoot every face you see poking through. We need to hold them.
There's so many!
Pull up over here.
Oh, shit. Locked and loaded. I didn't know they had one of these in L.A. Oh, damn it. It's been raided.
Looks like someone had our same idea. It's just a bathroom.
Yeah, but someone locked themselves in. He's alive. Get the medic bag from the Hummer. Hurry.
Shoot that bitch in the face! You two hammer the nails back into that board. It's starting to come loose.
Through!
Everyone to the stairway.
This door can't hold up much longer.
We are here, and we're not going anywhere, and we are not giving up.
I need a volunteer who knows the area well enough to go with me.
Well, I do, I suppose. Todd and I did not live far from here.
Good. I have two cars downstairs with full tanks of gas. We need to draw as many as we can away from the tower. If they continue like this, we won't last the night. You, Riley, and anyone else you can find, start sealing off the stairwell entrances as best you can. Come on, you want some? Come get some!
He was totally hypoglycemic. He must have been in the bathroom for some time.
Are there any gas stations with diesel in the area?
There's a tank around back. You can fill up. Go inside and open my safe.
Your safe is empty.
Not that.
What is it?
What old Bert had in this backyard. You think that generator's big enough for us?
Wow, that's huge. I think that's more than what we'll need. Good old Bert has more surprises. Come here. It wasn't a safe. It's more like a room.
Claymores, grenades, MP5, assault rifles. Is this a 50 cal?
And there's more here than we can fit into the Hummer, so let's just grab what we can for now. We'll come back later for more.
Just wait till Michael sees all this.
No! Oh, God, he's got a leg!
Move aside a sec. Let me see it. Yep, it's one of them smart ones.
Smart ones?
Yeah, some of them are different. But it seems to me that the smarter you are in life, the smarter you are in death, too. I mean, well, did you get that polished silver pistol on the back wall?
Hell yeah. The Desert Eagle? That thing's pretty.
It's my favorite, too. Just glad they didn't get it. Gunnery Sergeant Bert Scott. Uncle Sam's misguided children. Retired, of course.
Wait a sec, Salt. There's a car moving over there.
They're headed towards us.
More survivors!
Wait, it kind of looks like Michael and Lizzie.
It is them.
I didn't know what to expect when we got back there. I'd grown somewhat attached to our little group and worried we might be a little too late.
We need to find some way to draw them away from the building.
You know how to work one of these things?
Well, the hell did you get a claymore?
Set it up and then we'll draw them out.
Where'd you get this guy from?
Here they come.
Ain't getting through here.
Is that all of them?
Let's hope. I didn't see any of our people as those things.
Where to?
Let's go find our friends. The building is swarming with them. It seemed like every corner we rounded, we'd find 10 more.
Holy hell, this is fun!
Hold them! Don't waste your ammo!
They're here.
Michael! Oh, thank God! Hurry up, stop! We're almost out of ammo!
Where are you?
We're in 6G! Hurry!
There's no time!
Thank God you're here!
5 rounds, Michael. We only had 5 rounds left. You couldn't have cut it any closer, could you?
They headed right for us. They didn't see us, but they knew we were in there.
We took this off of a home we drove by. It had so much stuff piled on top of it in the Hummer, I forgot we grabbed it. I Figured it would be nice to have a security door. Here, check this out. It's an electric keypad. Since those things probably can't figure out how to use it, we can write the code right on it and any survivors can come in.
I made this for you. Thought it might help. I found the video camera upstairs and took it apart. I made it smaller and even put a bracket on it so you can mount it on the wall.
Really? We could watch the lobby from upstairs.
Yeah. Can you make more of these?
Yeah, I think.
Unless we establish what's going on here and who's in charge, we're going to have a big mess on our hands.
I agree. But Michael, this is not the army.
Gather everyone up, and I do mean everyone, and we'll meet, where's a big enough spot to hold all of us? It needs to be able to hold around 20 or so.
The apartment next to Riley's shop is big enough.
Thanks. All right. That'll be our meeting room from now on. Get everyone and meet there in, say, half an hour. We have some serious shit to work out. For those of you who haven't met me, I'm Sergeant Michael Cross. First and foremost, let me set one thing straight. None of you would be here right now if it wasn't for myself, Specialist Saul Tink, or Lieutenant Angel Tenuto. Regardless of where you might have gone, you wouldn't be here. If you want to stay, you need to follow the rules. If you don't like it, you can leave. Everyone will choose a department that they would like to work in. Saul is in charge of the motor pool and the scavenging parties. Riley is in charge of food and supplies. Pegs, the garden. Lizzie, water. Datu, power. Angel and I are in charge of personnel, safety, and intel. Bert, you mind being in charge of the armory? Whatever we don't know right away, we'll learn. Tomorrow's the start of a new beginning. Datu, put your generator on the balcony of one of the apartments on the top floor. Get it in the elevator and up here before we lose the main power. Now for a water tank. How about this? You make the container for the water in an apartment below us and just have a pipe coming from up here down there for when it rains. Yeah. Surprised to see you out of your apartment.
Where are my cucumbers?
Hey. Are you okay? Something's wrong with him, Michael.
He's lost it.
Oh my God. Is he one of them? We have some dried blood here. Left pant leg.
Cut him off.
Come on, baby.